T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Greg Rabe.
Let's go, let's get it on! Oh, Peters!
Oh, got a fight, Thornton and Rivera exchanging punches.
And everybody pairing up at center, and now Peters starts teeing off on Emery.
The captain strikes gold!
And now, The Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
Day 2 of the blizzard. I got to tell you, it's frightful out there. Look out. Rivs is snowed in. Couldn't make it today. Marty's snowed in Vegas.
They have, what, about an inch of snow there?
It's called a hangover. What's that?
They have about an inch of snow over at Rivs' house. He's snowed in.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how they do it over there. Yeah, I mean, listen. Like, I can't remember a time that anybody's been so wrong. And they're sensitive too, the meteorologists, right? Like, they don't like being told that they're wrong because there's a cliche joke. You know what the cliche joke is?
What's that?
You're going to be wrong about the weather. You know, you're a weather person. All you do, you're always wrong about the weather. You're always wrong. This has been a disaster. A lot of angry people out there.
Especially, you know, all the schools were closed and didn't need to be.
Who do you blame for that one? Is that superintendents or is that the meteorologists? I got to go and say, you know, like, superintendents are just, I had this conversation yesterday with a meteorologist. And I was, you know, busting as I always do, right? You know me, Paul, you know, mm-hmm. instigating. Mm-hmm. And they're, well, the superintendents canceled the schools. And I said, well, the superintendents are going off this amazing storm that's coming in. I mean, we got the blizzard of 2020 rolling through here, and schools should be shut down for days. Make sure you go get a water supply.
And the superintendents are probably taking
foods.
They're probably taking heat from the parents.
They're taking heat from me. I don't know how many parents out there have a radio voice, but I'm a little. My son had to come to Entercom yesterday, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, and Hammy, we were telling everyone in here too. Like I don't remember. A day like yesterday where we ever closed schools when I was a kid. And I walked to school when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not trying to exaggerate and be dramatic as I always am. I'm telling you the truth. Like, we walked to school. There was a group of us. Not far, but I can't ever remember school being closed for snow unless you literally couldn't open your front door.
It was very rare. It was very rare that school was closed. I mean, if the buses couldn't get through, that would be about the only way school was closed. We didn't have very many snow days at all.
Well, I apologize to everybody who had to miss work and school for no reason yesterday. But and I apologize that we weren't on TV because we, like everybody else here, thought that you know, we were going to be digging our cars out of snow piles for days. And we're all wrong. So here we are. We're back. No Ribs, as I mentioned. No Marty. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Sabres in Vegas tonight, so it's a late start. Cahoon will, we'll call him Cahoonaville. Cahoonaville will make his way into the lineup, supposedly. Kyle Oposo.
Probably. Let's say probably.
What do you mean?
Well, he was on the line yesterday, but that doesn't mean 100% he's playing. I mean, they didn't say 100% he's playing, but probably he's playing, yes. I just wouldn't put it at 100%.
I'm putting it at 100, and I know nothing. Just based off the lines yesterday.
I'll put it at 98%.
Let's go based off the lines yesterday, and I'll help you. I'll convince you that other 2%. Also, 2 points went to Toronto last night. For those of you who are scoreboard watching, as I think most of us are.
But somebody
here.
Had to. Florida or Toronto. Somebody had to get 2 points.
Well, that game almost, like, Florida had the empty net. And, they had some puck possession in the zone. And if they tie it up and go to overtime, it's like the worst case scenario, mm-hmm. right? Like, everybody gets a point in a game where, you know, one of those, you need both those teams to lose. And both of them aren't going to lose as we take a look
at
the
standings on the monitor. And that's a problem, though, Petey. It's not necessarily that the Sabres are 10 points behind the Maple Leafs. If that was the case, you're thinking, okay, you're fine. You got two games in hand. That you can make up. The problem is you have to get by the Canadiens. You got to get by the Panthers. And then the Maple Leafs come in when we're talking about the Atlantic Division. You got to hurdle three teams to get into the playoffs. And that's where the problem is. Are all three teams going to come back to you? And that's – if it was just Buffalo and Toronto – I would have a much more positive thought process on it than it is this way, where it's you got to hurdle three teams to get there.
It's funny, too, because every year, I remember last year, the Sabres didn't play the Leafs until December or something, and then they played them like three times between March and April. Mm-hmm. What we would be doing for three Leaf games right now to try to make those points up in those four-point games, though. You know what I mean? Like, we don't play the Leafs anymore. You have Montreal one more time. Do we play the Leafs? No, we don't.
No, they finished 2-1-1 against the Leafs.
Yeah, so they have Montreal one time here. They have Florida. And for the most part, up until through the month of March, it's all pretty much Western Conference teams.
Where they lost the points in the division was they played good games against Boston and lost them all. They lost all the games to Tampa.
Detroit and Ottawa.
They lost 2 out of 3 to Ottawa.
Yeah.
Detroit, they lost when they got a point out of it. So they picked up all but one of the points against Detroit. But the Ottawa thing, where you lose 3 out of 4 games to the Senators, I mean, that's – but not, you know, going – losing everything to the Lightning and Bruins. And as I said, some of the better games I thought they played were against the Bruins. But those wound up being the moral victories, as we say. They weren't able to win those games.
Sabres in Vegas, I'm expecting – that doesn't sound like 100% confidence, but I'm expecting Cahoon to work his way into the lineup. We'll talk about Bobby Ryan at 10:30 because that is an amazing story. And, you know, I root for guys like this. We'll get into it a little later, but, 100 days – a rehab and not drinking and sobriety and it's hard. I can tell you, I live it every day. I've lived it for almost 8 years now. And, you know, I can touch more on that and how happy I am for him. My brother played with him in Portland, Maine. And, you know, just an amazing guy is all I've ever heard, with an amazing, amazing backstory. And I'm glad that he's back playing and that, you know, some of his demons are being answered. But we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But Cahoon, Frolik was on the line yesterday with Larson and Gergensen. Oposo had a maintenance day.
So you figure Oposo, if he plays, slides in for Frolik, you would think.
He's playing. I shouldn't say he's playing. I'm saying that if he can play, Oposo's playing. We talked about Oposo yesterday.
Talked
about Larson Gergensen.
Definitely.
They've been starting every game. Have you noticed this? Mm-hmm. I remember when we went out on the ice for 2000s night. And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking I'm going to see Jack and Reinhardt and I don't know if it was Olofsson's first game back, I think, was that night. And that's who I was expecting to see on the ice when the national anthem was going and we were all standing there. And I look over, and there's Oposo, Larson, and Gergensen. And I'm just thinking to myself, they're using this line to start games. The start in Pittsburgh, they started in Colorado. They use that line as their line to get going. I think that's a huge compliment because a lot of teams come right out of the gate with their studs, you know, all their big price tags, and they throw them right on the ice to hope that they can get something going offensively. When realistically, I remember there were teams that when I would play that always started their third and fourth lines, their checking line, get the energy going, guys that, you know, will go out and try to take advantage of that opportunity. So solid line for this squad so far this year.
And I've been saying this for 2 years. What he makes is what he makes, and I think folks just have to get past it. It doesn't matter. Forget about how much money he makes. It does not make good business sense to buy him out. It really doesn't. And you just have to live with it, forget about it, and understand that the role that he has carved out, he's doing a great job with, doing very, very well with. And that you can say that about the whole line, that they've really found a line that is that this is what I've been talking about for how long. You've got to get contributions out of your bottom six.
Yeah.
and they're getting contributions out of all three players. I mean, two of them will be in double figures in goals. That's great. I mean, it's when you've got your bottom line or your bottom six guys that have one goal, two goals, and no goals. You know, that's, I think, when the problem arises. But these guys have really carved out, I think, a very good niche for themselves. And it really doesn't matter what the money is. You can't do anything about the money. It's done. What's done is done. You can say, well, what a bad contract that was. But what is it going to get you? You're stuck with it. As I said, it does not make good business sense to buy it out. He's doing, I think, a fine job in the role that he is carving out for himself. And, you know, I think it's going to be a very good – I mean, if you're a playoff team and that's your fourth line, I think you're in great shape.
I'm watching that goal Gergensen scored right now on the monitor. He drives the crease really hard. Oposo going wide, throws it backhand to backhand, and Gergensen just tips it in. I don't know. I feel like we're singing their praises on a daily basis here, but I believe you win or lose, you can still sing the praises of players that put in the work, play hard, show up consistently every night, whether you win or lose. And I do a segment on Spectrum News, and I was doing it last night, and I said, you know, the one thing about the Sabres fans, the fan base, and I think the Colorado game was a great example of it, is that you know, and I know this from playing here, because in 03-04 we were not a good team. We finished very strong. And I think there was a lot of potential, but we were not a good team. But we worked hard. And fans appreciate, and anywhere, but here especially in Buffalo, if you go out and you work hard, you bust your ass, you try to win. You try to win games. Whether you're in a game or not in a game, the fans will always support you here. The media will always support you here if there's an honest effort. And I feel that the last game against Colorado, even though they lost, was by far the best team effort we've seen in a game, probably, all year, wins and losses included. So, you know, if we can get that kind of effort from this team going forward tonight in Vegas, again, win or lose, I think you're going to start to see some players turn and play a little bit better. One thing I want to mention to you is a line that Pat Malacaro tweeted out yesterday, and I'm curious to know your thoughts on where they have Skinner right now with Lazar and Simmons.
I just think that, quite honestly, if that's where you're going to play Skinner, you might as well just not even put a uniform on him. I'm not trying to insult Lazar, and I'm not trying to insult Simmons, but Simmons has lost his speed. He doesn't have it anymore. I watched it the other night. Three different times I saw Skinner almost have to come to a stop waiting for him to come up the ice as he's bringing the puck up the ice. And it just, to me, it takes away the flow as you're coming through the neutral zone. Now, when you get in the zone, yeah, he can forecheck and he can win battles and maybe get the puck out in front of the net, but you got to get him there first. And that's where I think it's going to be a problem for him. I'm not this person that thinks he has to play with Eichel. He scored over 200 goals in his league without Jack Eichel.
Are you just filling in for Riv today? When it comes to negativity, do you have positivity in there? Because I think last time you were on, Riv was getting on you too about negativity. I see, that's the thing, Hammy. What's the change here? Is it Johansson?
It's Johansson, Lazar for Johansson.
So is it VC and Cahoon getting a chance to play up with Johansson, or is Lazar getting a chance to play up with Simmons and Skinner?
I think Cahoon's getting a chance to be more with a veteran. You know that. You know, all right, this is his first game as a Sabre. He's young. Let's put him out there with a veteran, one of the alternate captains type of thing. And I think it might be more about Cahoon than it is for anybody else.
I can't wait to watch the Lazar Skinner line. I can't wait. I've been waiting for – have we seen – you've watched all the games. Have we seen Lazar and Skinner yet together? I don't
– Yeah, he played with him for a while.
Played with him for a while?
Mm-hmm.
How many games?
I didn't count him in games, but he has played with him.
I think this is an opportunity for Simmons, Lazar, and Skinner to get going.
Lazar can keep up with Skinner, but
you think Simmons looked slow?
Very slow. Extremely slow.
So
to a point, I was noticing Skinner having to come to almost a complete stop on a rush. Otherwise he's going offside. I mean he had to wait for him to get up carrying the puck up ice. I thought he was extremely slow.
I think that happens a lot, and I actually I it, I don't think he looked slow. I'm not going to say at all. But getting in on forechecks, finishing checks, that like that's the thing. I don't know. I'm not
going to say
that we're watching a different game.
That's the positive part about it.
I'm not going to say that we're watching a different game. But, I mean, I think that players, when they're called slow, I think it really depends on the circumstance in which play we're watching. Because there are plays where he generated really good speed. Like, there was a second shift in the game where he goes down, he chips that puck in, and he beats the defenseman, lets the defenseman go and get the puck, and then he runs him. There was a play behind the net where he went and finished a check. I mean, he had good bursts of speed.
Oh, there's no question he's going to finish a check. There's no question about that. And there's no question if he can get in on a battle,
I think he's also
got a good chance of winning it.
I think he's also capable of making very good plays. And I referenced a play that he made in the defensive zone. It was in the second period, maybe, where Skinner was streaking across from the left wing, and Simmons, who I think what would have happened too a lot of times with the defenseman with players on this team, they might have just thrown the puck away or throw it blind. Like, I don't want to pick on Connor Sheary because he's not here, but how many times do we see Connor Sheary just whack a backhand to the middle of the ice?
Oh,
I mean, it was a regular thing.
I'll take a smart player over a dumb player every time.
Or a player.
Every time.
Or a player.
And I don't care if he's not as talented.
Or a player that's just willing to take a hit to make a play. And I feel like that's where Simmons will excel. And the play that I was referencing was he banks it off the boards. Like, it was a perfect bank. It was a bank pass. And the wingers that we've seen on this team in the past, that you'll see them high flip it, which is not a bad play to just get it out when the time is right, but there's also a time to make a play. And he made this play from inside the faceoff circle in his own zone. Those are the plays that Wayne Simmons will make. And then he bursted up the ice. I feel like the speed.
And those are good plays. You're talking about, I'm trying to be negative. Those are good plays, but that doesn't help Jeff Skinner. Him making a smart play to get the puck out of the zone doesn't help Jeff Skinner.
How does Zach Cassian help Connor McDavid?
I think McDavid helps Zach Cassian.
No question. But do you think Zach Cassian in a foot race could keep up with Connor McDavid? Probably not a chance in hell. But he complements him perfectly. And that's where I see Wayne Simmons. And it's not necessarily because Simmons has skill. He can shoot the puck. I thought he made some really good plays down low too. But he has skill. He can shoot the puck. I think he still has good legs, but he's tough as nails, and I think we've emphasized that enough. But that's where I think he makes up for it. It's that complementary piece that adds that element with a scoring-type player like Skinner. It will take time. Lazar is that other complementary piece to Simmons too, where Lazar is getting a good opportunity this year to obviously show what he's made of, rejuvenate his career, okay? And I think he's done that in a very effective way. This line here is the one line that I'm hoping can actually turn the tides for the Sabres when it comes to secondary.
See, I would love Lazar and Simmons together in a bottom six setting with somebody else. I guess it would be VC.
I don't think it can hurt to put Skinner with anybody right now.
I don't see anybody else that it would work with, so I think it would be Lazar, Simmons, and VC might be a better option.
What are your expectations for Cahoon?
I don't know. Of the guys that were traded, of the three guys, he had the most goals of all of them. He had 10. I think Sherry had 9. He's a guy that is, from what people have told me, is a very smart player. Is a guy that can make plays. Sometimes goes away for a little bit and. But I'm excited to see him. He's a guy that can move pretty well and can put the puck in the net when given the opportunity. So I think it's a good trade for the Sabres. The other two players, I don't think you were going anywhere with them, and you bring in another guy. And even if it doesn't work out, well, so what? I mean, you gave up two guys you weren't going anywhere with anyway. I mean, those two players, I don't think the Sabres are ever going to win with. So why not try a younger player that has some skill and see how he can, see how he can move into this lineup?
I look forward to seeing him too. He's obviously a speedy guy. Have you seen his stats the last couple of years? Like his first year in Chicago, he's got some great numbers. I don't know, and I don't know if that's playing with Kane and Crosby or Taves or Malkin or whoever he's been playing with. But I mean, there's obviously a lot of promise in this player. I think a lot of people expected to see him at center because that was his natural position.
But he never did. I mean, he played wing with the Blackhawks. They moved him, and he played wing with the Penguins. And Ralph Kruger hasn't closed the door on that. He just said to start with, we're going to make it easier for him and put him on the wing. And he goes, it's easier to get acclimated to a system and a new team on the wing. But he did not close the door at all about eventually putting him at center, which would put Johansson at his natural position. It seems like every time Johansson goes to the wing, he plays much better for the Sabres. So, you know, that would give you an opportunity to do that. But just to start with, he'll be on the wing, and we'll see if he ever does get to center.
I think a lot of people wanted to see him with Skinner right away. There's that conversation about Skinner that I think people are constantly barking about getting a player to play with him. I think there's so much more to that. I don't think Skinner's looked the same. I don't think he's looked the same since he left with the injury, the shoulder injury. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, and I can't say shoulder, collarbone, that area, arm.
He's starting to get some opportunities, but he wasn't capitalizing.
I thought when he scored against Pittsburgh, I thought that was going to be the turn for him.
Yeah, but I mean, before that, not when he first came back, but the couple of games before when he scored, he was starting to get opportunities again, and he was missing them. And, you know, he's paid to capitalize on those opportunities, and he wasn't.
Instigators, Paul Hamilton in studio. Sabres tonight at the Golden Knights, 9:30 Sabres game night on MSG.
Golden Knights have won 7 in a row.
Yeah. Why do you make a point of that being a line that you drop as I'm about to do a reset here? You have to say Golden Knights win 7
because
in a row.
It's very important, then it's going to make it harder on the Sabres. You're playing a team that has supreme confidence right now, that's playing very, very well.
Good. They should play a little nervous. They should play nervous to get their asses kicked. There's potential for it every night. Mm-hmm. And not only that, like, these are the teams you're going to have to beat going down the stretch. It does not get easier. I have looked at this schedule time and time again. And if, you know, don't wait for the challenges to come at the end of the year, because what do we say about every team that just limps into the playoffs? They're playing playoff hockey for the last month of the season. And that's why they have success. Columbus Blue Jackets, all these other teams you talk about that limp into the playoffs. And you look and you say, why do they have so much success? Or why do all these eighth seeds, wild card number two seeds, beat all the number one seeds? Because they know how to play desperate for the last month of the season. They had no other choice. Their lives were on the line. And I think that is a direct result of what we saw with the Sabres the other night. They should be scared of Vegas. You're not scared, but you're afraid of being embarrassed. And that should be, if that's not motivating enough, then these guys got to give their heads a shake.
Mm-hmm. But still, I don't know if you want to face a club that has supreme confidence that's on top of their game.
Because you want to beat them. You want to go into that game.
They want to beat them. They need 2 points, whether they beat them at their best or beat them at their worst. They
Doesn't
need
matter.
2 points.
Yeah, 100%. But you know what? You know, who would you rather beat? You'll beat anybody. But what does it do for the psyche of the team? If they roll into Vegas tonight after playing a great game in Colorado, they roll into Vegas, they beat the Golden Knights who have won 7, and then they roll into Arizona. Your confidence level beating a team and you get to burst the bubble, there's nothing better than bursting another team's bubble. Like the Vegas Golden Knights, they're riding a high right now. They're going to give you the old, oh, we got to prepare. The Sabres are going to bring their A game. But mentally, they've already won this game. The Sabres can dictate the outcome of it, but mentally, Vegas has already won this game in their own head. So they could beat themselves. And that's the team you want to beat at 7 straight, because that makes you believe, hey, we can take down a team that's getting all the love right now around the league, and St. Louis, by the way, who's won 6 in a row. But that's the mindset. That comes down to the guys in the locker room. That comes down to your leaders. It comes down to your Jacks, your Wayne Simmons. I don't know how vocal he's going to be. He's new. Your Joe
Apparently
Hansen's.
Very. The coach said that he was vocal from the time he walked right in the room. He didn't shy away from it at all.
What'd he say?
I don't know what he said, but the coach said before the first practice, he was vocal in our room the minute he walked in. He said he fit right in and was very vocal. And he really liked the leadership that he saw right off the bat.
I liked his answer in his media scrum. He said something along the lines of, you know, he wants to come here, wants to be successful here, but thinks he can complement this team well. I mean, he knows what he's bringing to this team when he comes in here. brings a lot of jam.
And he knows what
swagger.
He brings. He's the only one bringing it.
Him and
Lazar.
You know, it's funny you say that. And I agree with you. I agree with you that those are the two guys that probably play with the most jam and swagger on the ice, Lazar and now Simmons. I thought Simmons was very noticeable in terms of physicality the other night. But what it does is, and I'll use this word again, and we haven't been able to use this word when it comes to the Sabres and topic of physicality, but physicality isn't one or two guys. It's not a guy in your forward line and a guy on your back end. It's multiple guys. It's a committee. It's a committee that makes the rest of the team that aren't built like that feel a little more comfortable. So now you add a Simmons. Lazar feels stronger and bigger and tougher. You'll have Gergensen, Larson, Oposo. That'll add a little bit of, moral support. Yeah, let's get to the back end. Jake McCabe's struggling right now.
He's had a tough go of it. Definitely. He and Joakim Harju had a rough game. I was going to say that about this game against Vegas. I'm wondering if the coaching staff is going to ask the Sabres to get back to playing more defensively, because against Colorado, I mean, defense kind of got thrown out the window. I mean, that was a lot of good chances, a lot of good goaltending by both teams. You had 34-33 were the shots on goal. I didn't think the Sabres were as good defensively as they normally are, but they got some good saves from Hutton, especially after it became 2-1. That's when Colorado had their chance to take over the game, and I thought Hutton was up to the task and kept it at 2-1. But I don't know if the coaching staff wants a game like that where, well, first it's the Sabres dominating, then it's Colorado dominating, then it's the Sabres, and go back and forth. And I think they would probably like a little tighter defensively.
Well, and the other thing, too, is when you take a penalty, you have to be confident when your penalty killers go over that they're going to get the job done. I don't know that the Sabres are there right now. There were times, not even when I played, but just watching, you watch any team where you see the penalty kill roll over and you go over the boards and you're like, man, they are solid. They are hounds on the puck. They are, you know, and then right now, I just don't feel like there's confidence when they go out as a unit that they're going to get that job done.
For some reason, they're having trouble identifying the dangerous man. And the dangerous man seems wide open all the time. And it just – they have – I think if you would ask me what's Rasmus Ristolainen's biggest weakness, I think that's his big – it always has been, identifying the most dangerous guy on the ice. I think he has a very difficult time with that, and he's one of the key penalty killers on this team. And now the first power play goal that Colorado scored, it was lucky. I mean, Compher was trying to pull the puck up to his stick and shoot it. Well, he pulled the puck back. And you see it right there. Is when he pulled the puck back, he lost it, and it went right to Landeskog. Nothing you can do about that. Nobody was out of position. It's just a bad.
Doesn't help the morale. I'll throw that in there. When your penalty kills at the bottom, and I'm not arguing.
But that's just a bad break for the people who are watching television here and can see the goal. That's just a bad break. Nobody. You can't blame any of the Sabres on that. Compher was trying to pull the puck back to shoot it. Now, would he have scored? I don't know, but he definitely was not trying to pass the puck to Landeskog. But the second power play goal would have been a different story. The first one was just lucky, but you're not last in the league because they're all lucky goals against you.
I have a solution to the penalty kill, and I'll tell you what it is when we come back, and we'll touch on Bobby Ryan as well. If you haven't heard this story, it's absolutely amazing. Bobby Ryan is he's a great guy, has had a lot of issues in his life, and took some time off, did some rehab for alcoholism, and came back last night, scored a hat trick. I can't wait to talk about this. And I do have that solution for the Sabres penalty kill for Paul Hamilton when we come back. Darren Dreger at 11 o'clock. So we'll find out some other things happened on the trade deadline that we don't know about. So you're going to want to hear that. Instigators right here, WGR 550 and MSG.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
Do you want to know what my solution is for the Sabres penalty kill?
It's the easiest
solution known to man, Paulie, and it doesn't take rocket appliances to figure it out.
Stop giving up goals?
Maybe there's two. Stay out of the box.
Yeah. They don't take that many penalties,
that
though.
Penalty on Montour the other night was Bush League, and so was the penalty that wasn't called on Johansson down in the other end. I said it yesterday, and I've complained about
what do you mean by Bush League? That was definitely a penalty on Montour.
It was definitely a penalty, but not nearly as much of a penalty as the one that the ref, who was 8 feet away, didn't call
right.
The other end.
If you're calling one, you've got to call the other, and
that's my point.
I think both penalties have to be called, and so does the penalty on the Sabres where they're killing the penalty, where they blatantly tripped the guy and should have been down two men. That didn't get called either. All three penalties should have been called, and all three were penalties.
I'm not blaming the loss on penalties or on the officiating.
Well, in the end, they would have had a 4-3, a 4-on-3 power play against them anyway if everything was called the way it should have been. But still, it should have been called.
Don't we want to see 4-on-3?
Oh, absolutely. I have no problem with that. Right now, the refereeing is playoff refereeing. We get to the third period, and they're calling very, very little, letting things go. I despise it. I despise it in the playoffs. The old thing, will let the players decide it. Well, if there's a penalty and it's real and you broke the rules, the referees aren't deciding the game. They're calling the game the way the game is supposed to be called, and the players are still deciding the game because, number one, they're taking penalties, and number two, it's their job to either score in the power play or kill the penalty off. To me, the referees are ruining the game by not calling the penalties that are out there.
If you watch any game, it'd be 4-on-4 all game if they called everything.
Well, players know what they can get away with things. For about a week, it would be 4-on-4 the whole game. Then the players are smart enough to figure out, well, wait a minute, they're calling everything now, so maybe we shouldn't slash somebody's stick anymore, or maybe we shouldn't hook them as they're coming through the neutral zone anymore. They'll figure it out. It wouldn't be 4-on-4 for more than a couple of games.
I could go on the officiating conversation for another hour. I don't want to do it because you're just going to upset everybody because they're inconsistent across the board. Bobby Ryan, consistent for 100 days. He's been sober. And I don't know if you know the story last night, but he returned for the Senators, and not just return. He didn't just score a goal. He didn't score two goals, but he completed the hat trick in an empty netter. His first game back, and I don't know if we have the video, but if you're watching on TV, and if you're not, we can post this on social media, or even you can DVR the show. But very emotional on the bench. Very, very emotional on the bench. And I couldn't imagine playing with what he's been through to begin with. And not only that, but he put it all out there, his whole life as a child and his father and his mother. And, you know, it, very, very tough for a young kid to have to go through and then to overcome it. Obviously use hockey as an escape, and he's a very, very good hockey player. Some of the best skills. He's like a 6'4" version of Tim Connolly. He's got some of the best hands you'll ever see in hockey. And he came back last night. All the fans were cheering, you know, Bobby. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard. I can only imagine, you know, what he's going through. And not only that, I mean, I'd love to hear just the support that he's getting from his friends and family, just, you know, with deciding to become sober, you know, just, I relate to it. I mean, every time I hear a story like this or someone trying to, you know, quit drinking or something, it's not just as easy as like putting the bottle away or emptying out your liquor cabinet at home. And I mean, you have to almost avoid it. You know, you have to stay away from it. You have to cut a lot of fat out of your life. And by that, I mean, people that want you to be on a bar stool next to them. You know what I mean? And, it's a very, very tough spot for any human being to be in, to have to quit, you know, alcohol or drugs. I've done it 8 years now, 8 years, in May. And it's probably the one thing that I'm most proud of in my life, because it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Quitting drinking was harder than even making the NHL, and that was hard. Like, that was a lot of punches to the head, a lot of training, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get there. Quitting drinking still is the hardest thing ever, because it's always around you, right? Like, Bobby Ryan works in a culture mm-hmm. where alcohol is prevalent. Like, you can't avoid it. And I don't know that it's an issue in the game. It certainly has dwindled. I can tell you that. I don't think players drink now nearly the way
I don't see players out near as much as I used to. I don't know, traveling.
There's a lot to that too. Social media too. I mean, that would have kept me home at night if I were, you know, if social media were around. But I just, the struggle. I mean, so now he has added one more element to his life that he has put on display. So it wasn't just the issue growing up. It wasn't the lackluster play. Clearly, we know why. Clearly, he was just a phenomenal hockey player with a problem. And I'm really excited. I got to go look at his contract terms, but I'm really excited to see where Bobby Ryan goes from here, because this might have been the greatest thing to ever happen to him, because now he'll believe that he's just a hockey player. He can mm-hmm. put the alcohol away and say, I'm a better hockey player without it. Where I think some guys, not just in sports, but in life, think that they're better with it, or they need it. They rely on it.
And look at how much better a hockey player Robin Leonard was once he sought out help.
Isn't that the truth?
I mean, he sought out help, and look at the hockey player he is now since, you know, he's gotten help.
I had a friend say to me once, I saw him the other day. He's been sober for almost 30 years now. And he said, he talked about clarity, you know, like the clarity. And it's funny, 100 days is what? Like, that's 3 months and 10 days.
A little over 3 months.
Okay. Yeah. So when my friend who was an alcoholic and had a bad drinking problem quit, he was going to AA meetings, and he would say, he would talk about clarity, clarity, clarity. And you hear it all the time with recovering addicts, whether it's drugs or alcohol or whatever the case may be, but the clarity. And I remember quitting drinking, and I remember I was like, I don't know, I quit in May, middle of May in 2012. So June, July, August, September. It was about October. It was like October. It was a crappy day out. The weather was turning. It was cold. The leaves were falling. It was gray. It was a Sunday morning. And I remember I snapped up out of bed at like 6 in the morning, as I always do. Like, I'm up early. Ever since I quit drinking, I can't sleep, which is weird, right? But I woke up one morning, and it was just brutal weather. My little guy was he wasn't even born yet. And I just remember waking up, and I felt amazing. I didn't even know why. Like, nothing happened. Nothing good happened the day before. And I just remember I woke up, and I was downstairs. I certainly wasn't working out, but I just went. I had a coffee. I was reading, and I felt amazing. And then it happened again the next day and the next day and the next day. And even though the weather was changing, I never felt any different. Like nothing ever changed. Like I, when I drank, I had these waves of depression and emotion. They were, it was scary. It was terrifying. And it was like, and I can only imagine what Bobby Ryan was doing with all the built up angst from what he had dealt with from when he was a kid. And I think that was part of my problem too, was so much built up things that have happened over my life all the way from when I was a child. And I actually recognized the clarity, but it wasn't until about 4 or 5 months in. And that's why when I talk to somebody or people that are struggling with quitting, I tell them to wait. Just wait until you experience that clarity and you will never turn back. You will never ever think that you need to go backward and have a drink, because now you've experienced and seen, you know, how bright and real life can be without all the toxins and the chemicals that you're putting in your body. So Bobby Ryan is now my favorite hockey player in the league, just because we share a common bond. He's just way better than I am. But I admire this, because I don't know. I can't imagine how hard it would have been to come back after 100 days of being away and having to play hockey and face the questions, face the scrutiny. It's amazing. It's an amazing story. We got to go to break. I'm getting a little emotional here. Leafs won last night, which also pissed me off, made me emotional. We'll talk about that a little more from around the league, our buy-sell trade. But the Bobby Ryan story, thank you for listening to what I, you know, my spiel there. But I don't think people understand that. This is the difficulty in it. Until you live it, and then you're around it all the time. And I think the best, you know what motivated me the most, Hammy, is very similar to hockey. Like what motivated me in hockey were the people saying that I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like that was my fuel. And I always would, you know, spend a little more time in the gym or whatever, because people kept saying, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. And it bothered me. But I used it as a tool. And the same thing happened when I quit drinking. You know, I told people that I quit, and they would still invite me out for drinks. And they'd say, come on, just have one. And I'm just kind of like, all right, now I just want to prove you wrong. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, just prove to people that they can be wrong about somebody, right? And mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was a big part of it. And I hope Bobby Ryan and a lot of other people, kids out there listening, like the peer pressure and the influence that comes around alcohol from the time you're in high school, you know, it's insane. And I hope that I hope there's a lot to be learned from Bobby Ryan on this, and from performance and just feeling better, sobriety and all of that stuff. So round of applause for Bobby Ryan, and more Instigators when we return.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back with more of the Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing comes close.
Montreal, number 47 for Boston. Both guys, 5 minutes each for fighting! 5 minutes each for fighting!
If you haven't seen the opening for this segment, it's Craig and Andrew doing Rock'em Sock'em Robots, and the guys in the back got it right. Who edited it? They had me punching Riv's head right off his shoulders, which is exactly what would have happened. if it happened in real life.
What if it was real life? Wouldn't he punch your head off your shoulders?
Not a chance. And I would say this if he were here. He was tough. He was rugged. He was feisty. But
he's cagey.
No, that's a thing. That's the thing. He always was in rabid dog mode, mm-hmm. right? From probably the time he arrived at the rink in the morning for a game day to the final buzzer. He would just be, you just see him just with a straight face and miserable, right? But not miserable, just, you know.
Yeah, if you tried to do an interview with him with Maurice Skate, he would do it. But you're right. It would be a very serious.
Went into every game the same way. But yes, I wish I would have had the chance to fight Riv. Just to see. He fought Razor and did pretty well, okay? Razor got the edge on him.
Still could do it.
Who just texted me? I'm not even going to read it. I know you're watching, Riv. I knew you'd be watching. 102 fever my ass.
You still could do it.
I would punch your head right off your shoulders.
You guys could have a couple of rounds.
I don't think that's wise. our current body conditions. I don't think that's wise. But let's talk about fighting around the league last night. Did you see some of the scraps last night?
I did not. No.
You had who was it? Boston had Pasternak and I don't know. Pasternak fought, and then Mackenzie Weegar beat the crap out of. Here it is. Here it's Pasternak and. Small little
that's
Joe.
That's Krejci.
Riv's super buddy there, Joe Pavelski. Oh, Krejci, sorry. Krejci and Pavelski. And then you have Mackenzie Weegar beat up Kasperi Kapanen last night. Mackenzie Weegar, by the way, is Riv's cousin, so it's totally appropriate that we're talking about this. He wears 52. But anyway, you have your stars fighting now, Hammy. I mean, Mackenzie Weegar is your household star name, and I know he's Riv's cousin. I'm not trying to be biased, but he's playing on the top pair in Florida with Aaron Ekblad, and he's getting points. He's going to get a big long-term contract this offseason. You know, Kasperi Kapanen, we know
where are his teammates, Kapanen's? Kapanen should not be fighting,
right?
Having to fight that guy.
Kapanen fought not long ago either, another game just recently, but I don't know how I feel about this. This is where but the thing is, enforcers don't solve this problem. Like players like me, Hammy, you and I had this conversation, and I hated stage fighting, and that was basically my job. But my point is that, well, we're watching here, Weegar gives Kapanen a cross check.
Kapanen's a willing combatant, so yeah, I guess he doesn't need his teammates. He's willing, ready to roll.
Yeah, he didn't back down. But this is, enforcers don't solve this problem, because an enforcer goes out and he fights the other enforcer, and now you just have a fight. Where this right here is, Mackenzie Weegar playing tough. He cross checked Kapanen behind the plate. That's a Craig Reveille move. But that doesn't mean it has to be a fight. That's him just letting you know, hey, skilled guy, I'm going to get you again. I'm going to get you when the refs aren't looking. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get you when you have the puck. I'm going to always get you, so always be ready. And Kapanen, give him the credit. Mm-hmm. He turns around and doesn't say no. And then you have, it wasn't Pasternak, it was Krejci and Pavelski. And these are your star players. I don't know how I feel about this. I don't know. Someone just broke their hand. I think it was.
I'm totally fine with this.
You
totally
are fine,
with this. Yeah, guys like that go if they want to. I'm surprised there isn't more of that. And no, neither one needs anybody to come in. It's two smaller guys that are going at it. Let them do it. Not that the Bruins have anybody that's going to jump in anyway, but still.
Bruins are team tough.
No, they aren't.
What?
They are awful. They are not even close. You've said that before.
It
drives me crazy. The only tough guy they got is Chara. Case closed. Now they have Richie too. They traded for him. Now they got him too.
Well, they don't. You know what? Backus
never played. They are not team tough. They are the farthest thing from team tough you can get. Fans hate them. If you read the things that their fans say about that team, they can't stand that team and how they are that when it comes to that. They can't stand them. They're a good team.
I think,
but they can't stand
tough.
They never stand
Jake
up DeBrusque for each
is
other.
Tough. I think Charlie McAvoy is a gamer.
No.
I'm not saying they show
absolutely
up.
Absolutely not. They don't show
Carlo,
up.
Carlo, Chara.
When Wilson went after, that was a joke when Wilson went after him, and all the Bruins just backed off like – They all did their Paul Gostad. They all just kind of, okay. Ooh. And then you saw Marchand kind of jump on his back a little bit. And then Wilson just kind of, you know, swatted him away and laughed at them all.
Well, he stood there, Tom Wilson?
And he laughed at every last Bruin out on that ice. And they all just cowered like, okay, Mr. Wilson, I'll let you go.
I don't know that I would have said anything to Wilson. Well, I mean,
yes, you would have.
I would have had to.
Yes, you would have.
I would have had to, but if I had the option, I would have stayed quiet.
Bruins are a very good hockey team, but they are not team tough.
I think they play physical.
No, they don't.
You don't think they play physical?
Absolutely not.
Come on, Hammy.
Absolutely
I don't think you can
not.
Be at the top they of are the one standings worst without team, playing
They
that
are
way.
One of the worst teams in the league at playing physical.
Okay. All right. Well, I thought they...
Ask their fans. Go ask their fans. They'll tell you.
I mean, you can ask any fan is going to say about their team something negative. What are they in Boston? What do they want? Like in Boston, you're not going. I feel like it's the same here in Buffalo. It's the same in Philadelphia. It's the same in Boston. All those cities that had all those really, really, really tough teams, they'll never compare to the toughest team that they had. But so yeah, in today's game, are they as tough as you know the Bruins were back in the days when they had John Winsink, Terry O'Reilly, Don Cherry coaching? No, nobody is. But I think there are teams that are probably afraid of the Boston Bruins. Maybe
there's
right.
Nobody
I wouldn't
afraid
be.
Of the Boston. They're afraid of them scoring a lot of goals on them, but they're not afraid of them physically.
Okay. All right.
Not in the least.
Maybe I haven't been watching enough Bruins games, but I can tell you this. I don't know many players on any bench.
They're afraid of Chara. Yeah.
But I don't know many players on any bench that would lead. There aren't many players in this league. And I think more and more guys now know it because you don't have any guys that will be mouthy anymore because they don't have a guy like me to back them up. So when Tom Wilson goes and says something to the bench, guys can't say anything. What are they going to do? You're a joke? Well, he plays with Ovi. You know, you're embarrassing. First round pick. Yeah, he might have been suspended a bunch of times because he's a raging lunatic on the ice. But I'm going to tell you, there are very few players in this league. I would say there's maybe a handful of players in this league that actually look at Tom Wilson in the eyes in a game without any fear.
Yeah, but if he's on top of one of your players, you got to get there. You have no choice.
And that's where I give – didn't Jake McCabe go after Wilson last year? Jake McCabe went after Wilson last year.
Did he?
Yeah. It was last year or the year before Wilson ran somebody.
I'm not saying he didn't.
No, Jake McCabe is
one of the few that the Sabres have that is a willing combatant. I think sometimes he can't because of injuries. And I think injury stops him sometimes from jumping in. But Jake McCabe is definitely a good teammate when it comes to that.
I need that feistiness in the next hour. Just not at 11:30 because we don't want to tick off Darren Dreger. Darren Dreger is going to join us at 11:30. We'll chat with him. I'll ask him about the officiating. He's always got great insight on stuff like that. And I'm going to check Riv's text. And if it's clean, I'll read it to you at 11. Okay? I guarantee it's going to say something along the lines of, well, actually, I don't think there's probably, if I could guess what Riv's is actually writing to me, I don't think I can read any of it. So I'll try to do the clean version at 11.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.